For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, tears drive away the smiles and leave my heart in pain. My Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Oh, the thought to me is sweet that my loved ones I will meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't worry when the time come to go. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me, soon its beauty I will see, in that city where we never shall grow old. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played harps in glory land.
Over the last couple of months, the Holy Spirit has been nudging me to teach on the scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It tells us, "For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And when I study that, it seems to indicate that God is talking about those people who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because when it comes to the things of God, there are not too many unbelievers that will listen to teachings on the principles and the doctrines of the Bible. Yes, we have many strange teachings in the unbelieving world today. We have the teachings of evolution, the teachings of atheism. We have many different teachings of different religions. But the Bible teaches us here, they will not endure sound doctrine. That indicates that he is talking about people who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, meaning they will listen to teachings that don't really make much sense, which are in reality fairy tales. The definition of the word fables in the dictionary means an unbelievable story, in other words, a fairy tale. And over the years, many religious people who call upon God have heaped to themselves teachers who will teach them strange things. I want to give you an example here. When you look at the different religions, the clothes they wear, it's very interesting. When you walk down the streets of a city, you can see the different types of clothing people wear. And I know for a fact that this is not really cultural. This is what has been brought on by religious teachings. Well, if you study the Word of God, you don't read anything on what type of clothing a person should wear, except that he is dressed modestly. So you can see that people are turning to strange ideas, and especially as you see the day approaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. David Wilkerson wrote in his book, The Vision, he wrote that in the 70s, that in the last days people will be so insecure, they will have leaders who will even handle their money for them, tell them what to do, what to wear, and how to operate. Yes, that's the time we're in. People have lost contact with God, and they lean on other people to tell them what to do. And today I will teach on how the people of God turn away from the doctrines of the Bible. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of those that are listening so that they can understand of the times we are in. Lord, it has crept amongst us quite unaware, Lord. We are now here in the time which you have predicted in the Word of God. And yes, Heavenly Father, you will soon come back for your bride, whom you have washed and paid for with your blood. I ask you, Lord, that you will bless this message. You will bless the listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The very straightforward doctrines of the Bible over the last 50 or 60 or 100 years have kind of been put aside by most of the mainline churches. I will read you a few scriptures out of Mark chapter 16 on what the Word of God teaches that his disciples need to do to bring the lost to Christ. It tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Many of the mainline churches today, when it comes to these scriptures, simply tell us that these things went out with the apostle, except for the doctrine of baptism. And here it goes the other extreme. Many churches have made an idol out of the doctrine of baptism. So we need to understand that baptism is just a symbol, and you don't make an idol out of it. Once a person gets baptized in water, that simply means that he has been baptized in the precious blood and the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's an outward symbol, and people need to keep it as such and not make an idol of it. How about the idea or the doctrine of casting out devils? In North America, you don't hear much about it in the last 50 years, but you're getting to hear more and more of that subject as we get closer to the end, because it becomes very evident that there are many people who are being oppressed and have problems with demons. When you go to Africa, there it's a common practice to cast out devil. But here in North America, it seems like people don't want to recognize it, and they don't want to talk about it. And they will even teach against the idea that a Christian could have a devil. Well, let me tell you, when you watch some people, you know for a fact that there is something wrong, because they have no power over the enemy. When it comes to addictions, regardless how they try, they can't seem to shake that addiction that they have gotten accustomed to. The reason they can't shake it is because a demon has crept in, and now they're serving that demon. And this is why so many people cannot get rid of their addictions. Let's talk about the addiction of pornography. I've heard people give their testimonies. They cried before the Lord, but still they could not help themselves but go back to that stuff and watch it and look at it again and again, until they were delivered of a certain devil. Yes, I've heard testimonies like that. And why would those people lie? So we need to understand that there is such a thing as a Christian having a problem with a demon when it comes to those things. The word possession seems to trouble a lot of people, whether it's possession or oppression or whatever word you're going to use. It doesn't make any difference. We know for a fact that people have problems with demonic activity in their lives. Yes, this is what we're seeing, and this is what the Bible teaches us here. This is why the Bible teaches us that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principles of darkness. So when you see a person who has problems with addictions, homosexuality is one of them, drunkenness, drugs, pornography, whatever it is, the person has been brought into bondage by demonic forces. And instead of coming against the person and criticizing him, we should seek the Lord on how to help him. Because as far as I know, every person who has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation would love to serve him with all his mind and all his soul and all his spirit. But in many cases, he cannot, because he is bound by demonic activity in his life. Now let's take the doctrine of speaking in tongues. There are churches today who teach us that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Why would the Apostle Paul teach a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 on how to pray in tongues. And then in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he tells us, forbid not to speak with tongues. Those teachers who teach against speaking in tongues and casting out devils need to go back to the doctrines of the Bible. They need to see the scripture that teaches that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is good for correction, for instruction. Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. You do not make any excuses because you do not experience it yourself. When the Word of God teaches something, then that's what it teaches. And we need to respect it because at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have to give an account of what we taught the people who are listening to us. And then there is the doctrine of laying on of hands for those who are sick so that they will recover. Many people have asked me lately why we don't see any healings in North America like you see in Africa or in different parts of the world. And the answer is this. It is the same reason why Jesus could not heal everybody when he was here on earth. It was because of their unbelief. There is one story in the Bible where Jesus led this person out of the city, and then he had to pray twice for him to be healed. He prayed once, and then he prayed again, and then finally his eyes were healed. And when you study that city where Jesus led him out of, the Lord Jesus really came hard against that city because of their unbelief. Yes, that's what Scripture teaches very clearly. He could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. And another reason why we don't see any healings, too many healings and miracles in North America, is because that 7/8 of the church world is against it and are teaching against it and are turning against those who are teaching healings and miracles. Yes, that's exactly what is happening. How can a house that is divided fight a fight and win? That's what the scripture teaches. If we are divided, then we cannot do anything. If you will hitch two horses to a wagon, one pulls ahead and one backs up, how far is that wagon going to travel? Not very far, because there's going to be confusion. But there is one word that I get from the Bible, that as we get closer to the end, the church will start to unite as they will see the power of God working amongst them. And as God will pour out his latter rains, we will see healings and miracles increase. Thus our faith will increase. And I believe God is going to touch those people who are seeking him out. And that means the born-again believer. And we will see incredible things happening in the church world as we see the day of our Lord Jesus coming closer. So we need to turn to him and seek him out for ourselves. The doctrines of the Bible are simple. They are easy to understand. Just because you don't have the experience doesn't mean that you throw it aside. Study it. That's what you did when it came to your salvation. You take salvation by faith. And you study it. You start reading scripture. And after a while, it really becomes alive in your heart and in your mind. You, after a while, know that you belong to God. And this is exactly how it works with speaking in tongues, casting out devils, and praying for the sick that they will be healed. After a while, the Spirit of the living God starts to prove himself as you get into those things. And the Lord God opens your eyes to their truth, and you can start living in them and walking in them. The Lord will open your heart to this, these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Come to them highland, come in a high, Volk sein im Wort, jetzt ist es noch Zeit. Ist uns nach und segnet bereit und ruft so freundlich an. Einmal sein, wenn wir sind von Sünden frei und rein, in das gelobte Kanaan ein, Jesus, ich Herr, ich kann. Komm, oh mein Kind, und Herr ist sein Wort, gib ihm dein Herz und folg ihm sofort. Er ist ein Sieger, ewiger Hort. Drum mach dich auf und komm. Herrlich, herrlich wird es einmal sein, wenn wir sind von Sünden frei und rein, in das gelobte Kanaan. Jesus, ich Herr, ich komm. Glaube nur fest, der Herr nimmt dich an. Oh, fühlst du ihn nicht jetzt dir schon an? Mit Liebe und Gnade will er dich umfangen. Komm nur, oh Sünder, komm. Sein, wenn wir sind von Sünden frei und rein, in das gelobte Kanaan ein, Jesus, ich Herr, ich komm, Jesus, ich Herr, ich komm.
Over the last 30 years, I have studied different ministries on TV, radio, the internet. And one of the most neglected subject or doctrine is the subject on judgment and the lake of fire. It seems that ministries and churches are refusing to teach on this subject in those last days. It seems that they are fearing the reaction of the people. There are some churches and religious teachings that the lake of fire and hell is just a picture of somebody's imagination. They don't seem to understand that the Word of God very clearly teaches on that subject. It tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, "And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So when one studies these scriptures, you can clearly see that God wants us to understand the reason for his coming to this planet is to deliver us from that awful place of torment and judgment. It tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." So it tells us here that it's not going to be only a few thousand years, but it will be everlasting. In Luke chapter 16, there's the story of the rich man who went to hell. It tells us, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes and being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is the cry from the rich man, which the Bible teaches us was sent to hell. He was in torments and he was crying out that Abraham would just give him a drop of water to cool his tongue. So we can see very clearly here that this is not just a picture or a spiritual illustration. The Bible teaches us he felt the flames, he felt the heat, and he wanted water. He saw Abraham and he saw Lazarus. He saw, he felt, he was himself. He didn't just cease to exist or disappear. Yes, the rich man was in the lake of fire, a very literal place. And the churches of today need to preach this, because this is the reason why Jesus came upon this planet. It is to deliver us from that awful, awful place. Yes, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is to deliver us from the lake of fire and the judgment that is to come. Yes, we the preachers of God need to sound the alarm that there is a literal hell and a literal lake of fire that is waiting for them that reject the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to keep on preaching that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. And that's found in Acts chapter 4. So for those of you who write to me and try to tell me that a soul will die and cease to exist, or for those of you who think that hell is just a picture or a spiritual illustration, for those of you who teach that hell is just for a couple of thousand years, no, the Bible says it's going to be everlasting fire. We definitely need to take warning from Scripture that there is an awful judgment waiting for those who reject the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this is the most important doctrine to preach today, that there is a judgment and a lake of fire waiting for those who reject the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So seek Scripture yourself. Don't just go through life hoping everything will be all right. No, there is a destination for every person upon this planet. And you are the one that is in control of that destination. You are the one that has to make the choice where you will end up. So give Jesus your life and heart today so that you can become a child of the kingdom of God. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Glory, glory, hallelujah, this glory.